on 1116 SEN. Bush and the Burbs for Toyota's Good for Footy program. Local Toyota dealers supporting local clubs. Discover more at toyota.com.au/AFL.
Great to have Daff in the house, and welcome to you, Paul. We've got now a bit of an uptake in finals football. It's either jockeying for spots in the finals, avoiding relegation, or finals themselves, the business end of the season.
That's right, Finny. How are you going?
I'm well.
Yes, I mean, finals start, country footy, and finals have been going in the Omeroa District League for 2 weeks already. They're always the first.
We love that. We know that. I feel as though when the rest of the comp have their break for Queen's birthday, that it's finals time in the Omeo District.
That's right. It's the preliminary final this week. Who is it? Bruthen versus Omeo Benambra at Swan Reach on Saturday. The Omeo District League always have their finals at Ensay, which is a ground unused for the rest of the year. There's only two competitions where that happens. The other one is the Talangata and District League up out of Wodonga, where they play no games at Sandy Creek except in the finals. So that's going on this year again. But Ensay, haven't had enough rain, and just the oval's not in good enough nick. I've only ever seen the Ensay oval once, and that was in May, and it was just covered in sheep grazing on a Saturday morning. So there's going to be, you know, that's what happens to it for most of the year. But this year they're not having it, not having any games there.
See, one of the grounds in the area belongs to the Richardson family, Alan Richardson's family.
St Kilda Alan Richardson?
Yeah.
East Burwood Alan Richardson?
Yeah.
I didn't know this. What, tell us about this.
Well, we were talking about country football grounds at one point during the year, and tucked away locales.
Yeah.
And I think that...
They own a ground.
It was, I think, within there. Might have been a race course, actually. No, maybe a race course. But within the bounds of their property, maybe a race course.
I know of very few footy grounds on private land.
Yeah, maybe a race course.
The only one I know of, I know in Osborne, which is Adam Schneider's original club, which is about 80 k's out of Wagga. That was built on a paddock owned by a farmer, but it might be Crown land these days. And Kalkea, actually north of Horsham, plays on the Schultz's paddock.
Yep,
but that might be Crown land. Well, that might be. Yeah. Public land these days.
I think it may have been a race course.
Yeah, Bendigo YCW play on the back. They used to play, actually, until recently, on the Bacchus Estate. Catholics own a lot of land in Bendigo and regional towns and everywhere in Australia. And the rest of the world. And always in the good spots, too. But YCW always played on the Bacchus Oval because it was owned by the Bacchus Estate. Now they're playing on a new Catholic school in Maiden Gully, which is, again, owned by the Catholic... Church. So there are very few privately owned grounds. But fine, I've done a state of play where our suburban comps are as well. Some of the district leagues, there's about 8 or 10 start finals this week.
Yes.
And no one in Melbourne has started finals yet, but they're very, very close. One round to go in Western Region League, two Eastern, Essendon, Southern and Northern League, and three to go in the AMOs.
So timely to check the ladder positions likely finishes.
That's good. It's timely to see who's going to make it. Some comps, it's already set, namely the Essendon District League and the Western Region League. But the other leagues, Southern League, I mean, 1 to 8 can all change.
Yes.
Northern League, it doesn't go quite so deep, but there can be changes there. And the Eastern League, actually, Vermont, yes, they'll finish top. But down to 7, they're all going for the top 5, I've got it laid out who's playing who and who's likely and so forth.
So let's jump in. Western Region Football League have one more round of home.
This is the final round.
One more round of home and away action, and whilst the top 2 may be set, there's everything to play for in terms of a spot in the 5.
Yep, so Deer Park 64, Spotswood 56, Sunshine Hoppers Crossing 48, Altona 36 with a percentage of 128.9. Outside the 5, Werribee Districts 36 with a percentage of 87.5. That's way behind. Then you go down to Albion on 24. So Werribee Districts can't really, can they? No, yes, they can, of course. So Werribee Districts, third and fourth spot, top 2 is set. Third and fourth spot up for grabs, fifth spot up for grabs. Sunshine versus Deer Park. That can affect Sunshine. They might, if they can beat Deer Park, they might go up to second. No, they won't, actually. But they'll hold third spot. That'll be qualifying final. Hoppers Crossing versus Windervale. Hoppers Crossing should win that and likely to move into third place. Or could move into third. And St Albans and Altona. Werribee Districts versus Albion. Both should win.
I mean, the hope is for Werribee Districts that St Albans can upset Hoppers Crossing.
Yes, I didn't read that very smartly there, Finey. Exactly. The hope for Werribee Districts is that St Albans upset Altona. Yep. And then Werribee Districts.
Altona.
Werribee Districts beat Albion. That's the latter position said that's not, suggests that's not likely that Altona should hold their spot in the five, but even so, they'll be three games or two games behind the team in fourth spot, so they'd have to start underdogs in the elimination final.
Essendon District and the finals are set. Even though there are two rounds to go, we know that the top two now is guaranteed to be Greenvale and Aberfeldie.
Yep.
But we are still playing for home ground advantage, are we?
Yes, look, the top two and then third and fourth are both set. So Greenvale and Aberfeldie on 56 points, Maribyrnong Park, Strathmore 44. So those two can't go up to second. Outside the four, Keilor on 32. So they're three games behind Strathmore, so they can't bridge that gap. So first and second semi and set.
But with home finals to play for, there's a very interesting game next week between Aberfeldie and Maribyrnong Park.
Yeah. Yes, there's no home finals. All EDFL finals in Division 1 are at Windy Hill or at Coburn.
Ah, okay. So that's the
end of
that.
Normally, I think the second semi would be at Coburg and the first semi at Windy Hill or vice versa. The grand final's always at Windy Hill. I can't remember when the last one wasn't. It's just a game of interest, Aberfeldie versus Maribyrnong Park. If Maribyrnong Park are going to advance at all, they would have to give a strong showing against Aberfeldie next week. There's no games of interest this week, basically.
So it's basically we've arrived at the Mr. Harwood situation.
Which is?
It's all academic.
That's right. That's right. So that one's... that really happens that it's so set. With two rounds to go.
And how many teams go down?
One.
And that's set, completely set.
Well, Craigieburn have not won a game.
Yep.
Second last is West Coburg, who've won four games. So Craigieburn have been just completely outclassed, and they will be relieved to go down and try to reset next year.
I would say with two rounds to go, this is a most unusual situation that everything that is being played for has already been decided.
It has. Crowds might be down the EDFL this weekend. Not so in the Eastern League, finally. Two games to go. So Vermin are on top. Doncaster have come up through from outside the five, and they're now second. So they've done well. South Croydon, Doncaster 44, South Croydon 44, Noble Park 40, Baldwin 40.
And Blackburn 40.
Outside the five, Blackburn 40.
Wow.
Then you go down to Norwood on 32. So Norwood an unlikely, they basically can't. So it's a matter of second to fifth.
Those teams
could all change.
Those teams on 44 and 40, they could finish anywhere from second to missing the finals.
Like they could, and they've all lacked consistency. They've all had strong wins and some disappointing losses.
Yes.
Last week, actually, Vermont had a disappointing loss to Norwood. And Roville, way down the ladder, they defeated South Croydon. So South Croydon a third, but that's not a good result going into the finals. This week, so Vermont, South Croydon and Noble Park. So they've got two hard matches to go, but... You know, the latter says they should win. Doncaster in second place. They play Roville, should win that. And Blackburn, there's no reason they could win or lose that match. I mean, that's quite even though one's second and one's sixth. They're only separated by a game. South Croydon, the big risers this year, they're playing Vermont and Montrose. So lose one, win one. And we go down the list. Noble Park, they're playing North Ringwood and Vermont. So probably lose one, win one. Baldwin playing East Ringwood, North Ringwood, should win both of those. So Baldwin look well placed. Blackburn play Bayswater and Doncaster. Yeah, should win one, maybe win the other. And Norwood play Montrose and East Ringwood. So Norwood should win both of those games. So they're a very, very strong finish to the season, but it won't be enough.
And the Southern Football League is equally precariously placed with Dingley on 52 and with two games to go, They should be able to hold down top spot. But beyond that, it is everything to play for, with top two up for grabs, and certainly the spot in the five. Well, when you consider that Oakley District and East Malvern are on 8 wins, as is, they're fourth and fifth, as is Bentley, who are sixth, and St Kilda City and Cheltenham are only a game behind. And in fact, St Kilda City, with a percentage of 105.1, quite competitive in that aspect. So, gee, there could be a real move from down the bottom.
Yeah, the Southern and Northern leagues have been the most interesting in terms of the evenness of the comps. Significant that Dingley are on top of the ladder, to my knowledge, for the first time this year. So they're the reigning premiers, but they haven't been on ladder, top of the ladder all year. It's been St Paul's or Morty Alec. So they beat East Malvern last week by 6 goals. So now they find themselves a game clear on top of the ladder, because Morty Alec lost to Cheltenham, team outside the five, by 7 points. And St Paul's, they had a win. They beat St Kilda City by 3 goals. Yeah, so as you described it there finally, so all spots from 1 to 8 can change. The top three will finish in the top three. They're just going to work out what order. But 4 to 8 are in battle for the fourth and fifths. Chelsea are eighth. They can make the finals, especially after the win last week. But it's unlikely. This week, Cheltenham versus St Kilda City. So the loser will basically be most likely knocked out of the finals race.
Yep.
Dingley are playing Clayton and St Paul's. Well, Clayton haven't had a win, so and then St Paul's will present a challenge. Morty Alec, they've sort of lost a bit of form recently. They play Oakley Districts and St Kilda City. Two games they should win but could lose. St Paul's play Port Colts and Dingley. They should beat Port Colts, but Dingley, strong challenge. And it plays out like that. But basically, the only one that can be decided this week is Cheltenham and St Kilda City. The winner will stay in the race and the loser will go out, basically.
And now, the Northern Football League, most interesting, but with the five set, the interest comes where probably the desperation is even greater, and that is in relegation, the relegation stakes, with four teams within a game of each other.
Yeah, look, the relegation in the suburban comps, it's just one up, one down. Yep. In the AMOs, it's two up, two down, which creates a greater dynamic. And the relegation in Division 1 of all the suburban comps is no contest, really, except in the Northern League. So this week, Whittlesea and Eltham are on 16 points. So they both won 4 games, which is not bad, really, for teams down the bottom of the ladder. This week, Whittlesea play Bundoora and Eltham play Heidelberg. So both will have their work cut out. But next week they play each other. So that'll be a big match at Eltham. And basically just to see who does. Say they both lose this week, it'll be a massive battle. The winner of the game the following week will stay up in Division 1. Yeah, so McLeod, Bundoora, Northcote Park, West Preston, Greensboro, the top five. Heidelberg, 3 games outside the five, the reigning premiers. So that top five can't change. This week, there's not much in the way of interest. West Preston versus McLeod. So that's fourth versus first. That's the top game.
Let's move to the amateurs. And there were some hefty losses on the weekend. And St. Kevin's continue to push their claims for the, well, I reckon, well planned for and the serious campaign they've made to become the number one team in the VAFA. Took them a long time to get out of Premier B, but now in their second year in Premier Division, they've got the lineup and the results to really point towards a famous premiership.
It's been a faltering. I mean, they lost 6 B-grade prelims in 8 years, yeah, and finally got up, and then they certainly didn't take O-grade by storm when they did come up, but this year they have. Bit of controversy, I didn't look into it properly, finally, but I think a bit of controversy in that there was an amateurs investigation into St Kevin's and they were cleared. So they will remain...
For the sort of the number of professional type of players they've got playing for.
Yes, it was to do with basically professional players. I might look that up in the break just to get up to speed. I should have... got up to speed before we come on air, but I forgot about that one. But St Kevin's, as we stand, are 2 games clear on top of the ladder. 56 points. Collegians 48. Uni Blues 42. De La Salle 40. But in a, as in A grade every year, every position can change. So all fighting for a spot in the four, all fighting to avoid relegation. Outside the four, the interesting one, Old Zav's 34. So they're a game and a half out with three games to play. Got a great record of coming through at the right end of the season, as they did last year. Old Melburnians defeated Old Zav's last week. So they're now a game behind Old Zav's. So Bede's 18, Old Trinity 12, percentage of 81.8. Uni Blacks 12, percentage of 80.7. So 1% separating those two in 8th and 9th. Then a game back to Beaumaris, 8.62.3. So this week, every game has an impact. Beaumaris versus Uni Blacks, a real relegation battle. That's 9th versus 10th. Beaumaris has to win to have any chance of staying up. Old Trinity versus Old Zavs. Trinity trying to stay up. Zavs trying to get in the four. Collegians versus De La, both in the four. Uni Blues versus Kevins, both in the four. And Old Melburnians versus St Beeds. Just trying to stay in touch with the... Actually, St Beeds can't make it, but they. But Old Melburnians are looking... Well, hang on. They're 10 points adrift with three games to go. So they can, in theory, make it. Premier B finally, Old Brighton lost their first game last weekend. St Bernard's defeated them by 44 points. Simon Caven, best on ground from the great Caven family, a great St Bernard's footy family. At Fitzroy, we're in ninth place. They defeated Old Carey by 3 goals. So Fitzroy get up to 8th, a game clear of the relegation zone. So the top four, actually it's not set. Top three will stay in the top three. Well, top two is set. Old Brighton and Old Scots, they'll stay top two. Suburban's in 40. Ajax 2 games in 32. Monash Blues also on 32. Old Kerry and Mazenod, in theory, can get into the four, but it's unlikely. Fitzroy, Parkdale, Peninsula down the bottom there. This week, Old Scots versus Fitzroy. Monash Blues versus St Bernard's. And Ajax versus Old Brighton are the main games.
A comprehensive look at the local scene. And it's interesting, isn't it, that in just about all the competitions, as you say, where there's only one team to go down, there really is a team adrift. It seems as though the high quality and the tussle to succeed and the real power of some of the clubs in most of these regional competitions around Melbourne, the Eastern, the Northern, etc., it's a bit of an arms race, and there's a team or two, but certainly a team that just can't keep up with it. And you'd almost think in those cases they're happy to be relegated.
Yes. Most players want to play at the highest level they can, but it fascinates me that some teams that actually go up lose players because they actually don't want to play. They don't want the expectations or the demands of playing in the top grade. That happens occasionally. Some teams spend a lot of energy and money to basically get from the second division to the first, and by the time they get up, they've sort of spent their energy.
Yep.
And others lose players for whatever reason, or they just keep their players and they find they just cannot make that grade. I mean, Craigieburn came up and they'll go straight back down. Some clubs are yo-yo clubs, I suppose. Sort of move up and down with regularity, it would seem. I don't know if that's the case this year. I'm just having a look. Whittlesea be disappointed. Whittlesea and Eltham will be disappointed if they go down in the Northern League. That's where the biggest battle is, as we've described. They've both, Whittlesea especially, has strived really hard this year and had some good wins. So it'll mean a lot to them if they can stay up.
Now, just a couple of issues from country football. And, of course, this week, Ballarat host an AFL game, and I won't say it's for the first time because it was a country week game back into the 1950s. I don't know whether Ballarat were involved, but I imagine they did host a game. But this is
I can tell you fine, actually. It was round 8, 1952.
This is a modern push. A different story here because there is an intention for an ongoing AFL connection. And it sort of happened pretty quietly. All the fanfare of the game in China and everything that meant, I guess. The glorious riches that could be unlocked if the Chinese ever fell in love with the game are a little bit different to taking the game to Ballarat, but it's very significant.
Shanghai has stolen some of Ballarat's thunder, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But it is a significant move because it is a rural centre in Victoria. Now, we've had rural centres around Australia host games. Cairns is rural, and they had a game a few weeks ago. Nevertheless, a game in Ballarat is big, and just you've done a bit of work of just sort of celebrating the fact and marking what its importance is for the region.
It is. It's the backdrop, I mean, it's great for Ballarat. I wrote an article 2 years ago where I didn't think the game should be at North Ballarat. There should be a more central game. It's hard to develop the Eastern Oval and the City Oval because of restrictions with space and whatever, but Northern Oval's not loved by Ballarat people. It's loved by North Ballarat people, but not by Ballarat people. The advantage of it is it's just off the Western Highway. But I question why they had to make it there, but that's where the development had gone on because of North Ballarat.
It's quite near Sovereign Hill, isn't it?
No, Sovereign Hill's sort of closer to Melbourne.
Okay.
In fact, it's not near Sovereign Hill at all.
Okay.
But it is fascinating. Yeah, so the backdrop to this is the North Ballarat Footy Club is in disarray, complete disarray. So you've got the biggest game ever to be played in Ballarat there. Meanwhile, the club that's hosting it is... I mean, the VFL, the club is split between its divisions, which support North Ballarat being only in the Ballarat League, and the other part, which wants to be in the VFL. And there's a real political battle. I mean, the local council took ownership of the ground off North Ballarat in April because they were so worried about the club and the amount of resignations from the board during the unrest earlier this year. So it'll be an amazing day. I'm going up and I'm looking forward to it, but certainly not a settled ambience in the background. I think Ballarat should have been in the VFL originally. When the breakaway clubs were looking at it in the mid-1890s, Ballarat and Bendigo were in those considerations. Geelong had always been a strong club. Ballarat, there's always been a train line between Geelong and Melbourne and Geelong and Ballarat from the 1850s, 1890s before there was one between Melbourne and Ballarat for political infighting. They just couldn't sort it out. So there was if there was a train line between those two towns, Ballarat would have fielded very strong teams in the VFA and would have been a big chance to be in the VFL when it was formed in 1897. So this is redressing history to an extent, finally.
And the other piece of news from country football is that a Rushworth reserves player has received a 15-year suspension for pushing an umpire.
This happened last week, but it is worth noting. A friend of mine, Oliver Caffrey, is the sports editor at the Shep News. He last week told me that a Rushworth reserve player, Martin Ford, suspended for 15 years for pushing an umpire during a match against Ardmona. So there's an investigation into that match, which was abandoned after the incident. Ford pleaded not guilty of conduct unbecoming. The match was abandoned after he pushed the ump with both hands to the face after a free kick had been paid against him before quarter time. So I've heard of 10-year bans, but why 15? Can you even do that? I suppose you can just ban people for as long as you like, really. But anyway, that's the first 15-year ban I've ever heard of.
Yeah, and to physically attack an umpire, I'm very comfortable with that ban.
But why not 25, you reckon?
Why not life?
Life, fair enough.
Well, there has to be a...
You can't do that.
There has to be a... And I'm not even saying zero tolerance policy to such behaviour. There just has to be in the minds of every footballer, sports person out there that, you don't grab a fork and stick it into a PowerPoint before a game, and you don't touch an umpire during a game. It is just absolutely...
off limits.
It's not even not acceptable. It's not negotiable. And why is it not?
I was going to say it's unthinkable. I'm sure many people have thought of it, but they don't do it, do they?
No, I mean you just can't do it. But it just needs to be programmed like this. You wouldn't go up if you hit the post going for a goal. You wouldn't go up and smash the post in the face.
No.
Well, this is as logical. The umpires are not part of the physical element of the game. They are separate and officiating. And I'd be happy with a lifetime ban, and that's it. It's, regrettable. Break. And when we come back, Anthony Lewis from the Pascoe Vale Football Club, who Did he use social media to announce his retirement?
He did, finally. We'll be consulting his Facebook page when we speak to Anthony. Anthony, our favourite interview this year, a week of great retirees.
Yep.
I want to put Anthony Lewis in that bracket of great retirees.
He joins us after the break. Well, welcome back. Well, earlier on in the season, we caught up with Pasco Vale, well, now veteran, Anthony Lewis, and what an interesting journey it has been for the talented, speedy, lyrically gifted, tone-carrying wingman and on-baller from Chelsea Football Club, where he enjoyed great success, both personally and with the team, onto a stint at Parkdale and then crossed town to Pasco Vale, and all the while doing wonderful things on the live music scene, for the live music scene in Melbourne. And it was all going swimmingly, I guess, until, well, was potentially in very serious accident on the weekend, Daff.
Yes, finally. A mate of mine sent me Anthony's Facebook message, where there's him lying in hospital with big neck braces on. It doesn't look too good at all. But then he's written a note announcing his retirement. And it's very... Should I read it for
him? Please.
So here's Anthony Lewis in bed, neck brace, with his young son, Sonny Boy, on his tummy. He says, "Football has been amazing. Most of the best times of my life. 17 years of chasing the pigskin, chasing the dream, pulling on the sleeves, comparing envelopes, and avoiding any type of physical contact. Starting at Chelsea with a short stop off at Parkdale, drawing the curtain at Pasco Vale, and not a single drop punt that spun properly. I miss everything about the game, but mostly I miss the friendships forged in the rooms, on the track, on the field, in the showers, in happy hours, on buses, aeroplanes, in cars ducking down in the passenger seat to avoid paying on entry, in Facebook messenger chats, celebrating the wins and potting each other about the losses, and ultimately laughing the entire time." And he just goes on, just celebrating the fact that what a wonderful life in footy it's been. It hasn't ended in the way that he wanted or expected, but he's just been thankful for the good times, finally.
Anthony Lewis, now retired, joins us again in very different circumstances on Bush and the Burbs. Good evening to you, Anthony.
Yeah, how's it going, boys?
Good, mate.
Good. Well, firstly and most importantly, with that picture and an understanding that you suffered a neck injury or something akin to that playing for Pasco Vale on the weekend, what is the current situation? How are you currently positioned health-wise, and what's the prognosis?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just happy to be, I'm back at home, so I'm happy to be home. The beds at the Royal Melbourne Hospital are about as comfortable as where I used to sleep
in the car,
my wagon back in the day. Yeah. But I copped a bit of a knock Saturday and during the second quarter against Keilor out there, and I heard the crack in my neck and I thought, oh, that can't be good. But I got back to my feet and the trainer ran out and I thought I'd pop the shoulder out again, but I actually hobbled off and I thought, oh, it mustn't be too bad if I can walk off. And an ambulance was called and I still didn't think that I'd done anything too serious, to be honest. And then later that night, we got an x-ray and the x-ray revealed there was a fracture in the C7 vertebrae in the neck. So it was, I was pretty shocked by that. And obviously,
You were still it's Paul Daffy, Anthony. You're still walking? You were still...
Yeah.
There was no problem?
I was able to walk off the ground and obviously being in the ambulance and then wheeled into the x-rays. I thought I'd be no worries to sort of leave that night early and actually go and have a few beers with Paul Bunn for his wife's 30th birthday. But ended up calling the missus and said, "I've actually broken my neck. You're going to have to come in and bring me a
pair of pajamas."
Jocks.
What was the incident? When you say you got a knock, was this a crunching knock or a...
Yeah, it was. It was probably my own fault. I came in off the... they threw me up the forward line and I came in off the square after a centre bounce and ball was bobbling around. I bent over to pick it up after calling my teammate through. And apparently I got a little nudge into him, and as he came through, he just sort of compressed my head back into my body, I guess, and I heard the crack and sort of fell to the ground a bit dazed.
Oh.
And,
Did anyone else hear the crack? Like any teammates or rivals or anyone?
Yeah, I heard a couple of boys. They were trying to actually help me up, and I was a bit out of it. So, yeah, I'm not really too sure. What happened for a couple of seconds there, but I knew it wasn't good. And once I got to my feet, I thought actually it can't be that bad then. So.
So what's the situation now? Do you remain in a neck brace? Is the long is the long-term prognosis good?
Yep. Yeah. So I the guy came in after the X-rays, the doc, and said, mate, you've got the C7 fracture, which is going to require surgery, so we're going to keep you in here for a couple of days until that's done, and then the specialist will let you know from there. So I got the surgery on Tuesday, and... after a couple of nights of pretty uncomfortable sleeping in the big neck brace, which doesn't sort of allow you to move too much, then after the op, they put me in a softer one, and today they sent me home, and I've got to wear it for about 6 to 10 weeks, and then from there it should be no worries. So I've just got to sort of lay low and ride it out, I guess.
Were you told maybe how lucky you were if it was...
Absolutely. So it wasn't actually the spine... I don't know exactly, but... It wasn't the spinal cord itself. It was to the side where all the nerves attached. So they were just pleased that I had all the feeling in my arms and legs when I was in hospital straight away. They said quite often that area, if you get a fracture there, you can lose a lot of your feeling. So that's why the operation had to happen, apparently.
I mean, you know, you often hear just a centimetre here or there. I sort of worked out. I mean, I got... hit by a glass once. I got glassed once in San Diego, and the guy said, oh, that's pretty lucky. It was like an inch here or there, and I worked out 4 inches covered just about every vital organ. I mean, you know, we're not nine miles long.
Exactly. As soon as he said, mate, you've broken your neck, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I thought, wow, well, that's probably it. There's more to life than chasing the pigskin again after that, so... I sort of come to terms with it overnight in the next couple of days, and yeah, I've actually been in reasonable spirits considering.
So, Anthony, what sort of reaction did you get to your retirement note?
I was probably thinking about hanging the boots up anyway, to be honest.
How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 36 in September, and the form sort of dropped off the last month or so.
Has it?
And the motivation to get out there on a Tuesday night, it's pretty much at zero.
Right.
Probably hasn't helped, though, that we've had a bit of a lean year at Pasco Vale.
Yes.
But it's actually the centenary year at the club next year, so deep down I probably would have had my arm twisted to go around again. But after Saturday, the decision was sort of made for me, I thought. And, that's why I sort of thought, I'll whack it up now and... at least entertain myself in hospital with a few likes and comments on Facebook.
You don't want, Anthony, you're lying in bed with a neck brace, you've got a broken neck, and you're holding your little baby son there. I don't think the decision would have been too hard to make.
No, it wasn't, mate. To be honest, when I came out of the surgery and my wife and little Sonny was there, I thought, oh, jeez, I can't ever do this sort of thing again. Can't put my family through it. So it was a pretty easy decision, really.
And look, it's a serious operation, obviously. I mean, they would have considered this. The surgeons would have considered it. But was it too risky to remove that moustache of yours during the operation? Because it's pretty bloody cheesy.
Yeah, I think they were going to pin the rest of the vertebrae onto it if worse came to worse.
We've saved the patient, but unfortunately, the moustache lives on.
Absolutely.
So, Pasco Vale Football Club, they lose an on-field figure of, obviously, somebody just loves their footy, and you've hung up the boots, but that doesn't mean... all that camaraderie that you're quite rightly going to miss, there are other forms of life at football clubs, or is it time for a new part of your life?
Yeah, look, to be honest, I'm not too sure, but I've got that many... friends at Pasco Vale and even at my old footy clubs that are still involved at club level, so I'm sure I'll be involved still in some capacity. You know, I'll probably end up running water or thinking I can be a coach like everyone else after they retire.
You want us to start singing blues songs about
Low
As Me? Or...
Yeah, we've got a great
The prices will go up on the live gigs, that's for sure.
Great message here from... Who was the radio station that would call Chelsea games?
I remember the fella that used to sit in his caravan and call them. I can't remember the frequency.
Well, off the SMS.
Tweeted in.
Off the SMS. Memories of Louis running down the wing for Chelsea. Hope all goes well for you in retirement. Always a pleasure to call on HE Radio.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Cheers, Michael Voss.
Yes, that's right, Vossy. Great guy. Used to present the best on ground trophies after the game and. Yeah, I reckon I slept in his caravan a couple of nights on after the game.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, no, that's great.
All right, and singing, Anthony, does it affect singing, vertebrae?
Yeah, I actually did. I checked with the specialists about that. I did a bit of Google research, which everyone tells you not to do, but one of the things that can go wrong is they sever your vocal cords in surgery. So I was adamant that I mentioned... my professional singing career, so they made sure to use the proper tools when they got in there. But I seem to have come out without too much of a hassle there.
I'll tell you one thing, Anthony, and especially the sort of footballer that you were, in fact, for all footballers, it must just really bring home the fact that this is a contact sport and serious accidents can and sadly do sometimes happen. You've cop 17 years of football and obviously nothing serious enough to make you hang up the boots, but it's not just the professional players at AFL level who we say, you know, one injury and it could be over, as though playing for money is more important to people than playing for the love of it. It's just a reminder that you've got to be good and lucky to play as much football as you have.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely, yeah. Like you see a lot of your mates get injured, whether they be minor or major, week in, week out, and you know, everyone's putting their big or little bodies on the line for their clubs, and yeah, some blokes get paid well, but you've still got to remember that it's the same game no matter what level you're playing it at.
Anthony, there's a cavalcade for the AFL players: Bob Murphy, Luke Hodge, etc. I mean, I was thinking that's a silly question, but it's sort of not. I mean, will it now happen that the EDFL, for example, there'll be a cavalcade of retired greats around Windy Hill on Grand Final day?
Yeah, well, if there is, I'll make sure I somehow jump in through the drain pipe and sit in the back seat or something.
I reckon that will start happening in local leagues, finally. There's my tip.
Yeah.
Might even start this year.
Bad idea, actually. I might write
You might suggest it.
Yeah.
Now, more information seeps through off the SMS as word is out of Anthony Lewis's retirement. And this is a bit of a wedge, and... You've about to start or have just started a major new appointment in your professional life.
And I've been stitched up here, I think.
Pardon?
I guess who's sent that one in?
Well, it's actually the former producer of the breakfast program here, who's Craig Moore. Pointing out an appointment with the South Yarra Lawn Tennis Club, and they'll have to be understanding.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the timing's pretty unbelievable, really. I've been floating around on the grounds there for the best part of 10 years, and my boss recently retired, and they've given me the opportunity to become head curator, and 2 weeks into the gig, I've gone and broken my neck, and I'll probably be laid off for about 6 weeks. So it was a bit of a tricky situation calling the new GM there, but no, they've been awesome, and hopefully I can get back in some capacity in the next couple of weeks anyway.
Give him a packet of lawn seed and the necessary instructions, and tell him you'll be back when you're right.
Yeah, I'll bark a few orders from the shed with the binoculars on. They should be right, the boys, I reckon.
That's right. So with a full stop on your football career, just very quickly, last question. The highlights, the memory that stands out the most, a premiership, a trip away, what was it?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I love all the social stuff that goes with footy, all the footy trips to pre-season camps, any functions. But I must admit, the week we celebrated after we won the 06 flag at Chelsea was a fairly memorable one. Obviously, had a couple of cracks at winning one, and to finally get it done in 2006 was pretty awesome.
Well,
and the next 2 weeks after that were... were fairly loose, but they were good fun.
Speedy Louie is no more galloping down the wings with his helicopter punts, but you can still catch his musical stylings in and around Melbourne as soon as the neck brace is off, which we can happily say is a certainty. Thanks for joining us tonight, Absolutely. Anthony.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, mate.
Anthony Lewis and the mustache. No more. We're going to take a break. I think we've pushed Brendan Tibbles to the limits of acceptability, so we might have to catch up with him next week, and we'll wrap up on Bush of the Boobs when we return. Welcome back. Paul Daffy is in every week for a pub that seems to step in time with him because it's a bit of a quietly spoken secret brought to you by the Standard Hotel is our man, Daff. Look, it's hard to find, easy to love in Fitzroy Street, Fitzroy, the Standard Hotel. Good food and good conversation, and they wish for no more in terms of promotion other than the truth. Now, some interesting results in country football as we wrap up the hour. And the Bendigo Football League has certainly got there's three powerful teams in it. And, you know, that with all respect, Kyneton Sandhurst, who are currently in the five, but Eaglehawth and Strath, as well as Golden Square, are powerhouses, aren't they?
That's right. So those three will finish in the top three. Actually, for mentioning Strathfield, say Lachlan Sharp kicked eight last week to go to 104. So the Strathfield side has been around for about not even 10 years, actually. Now they've got 200 goal kickers. The other one's Stephen Milne, but he kicked his in the grand final. So Lachlan's done his and hoping away. Kyneton, Sandhurst and South, who's going to make fourth and fifth is the big deal there. Kyneton might just scrape in despite playing two of the top three teams in the last week. And Sandhurst should get in, leaving South just stranded slightly.
All the best on your trip to North Ballarat for the AFL game this weekend. And thanks, Roy. I'm looking forward to discuss your clandestine meeting with Tracy Boyce from Redan Football Club, who you'll meet prior to the game to swap books. What that means, I don't know, but it means that I'm looking forward to next week.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gamaverdian from Dental Lounge. Would you like to increase your success, whether it be personal success or career success? Studies have proven that enhancing your smile can enhance your quality of life in every way. I've seen hundreds of patients for porcelain veneers and smile makeovers with amazing results. Simply tap the banner and book your free consultation and I'll be happy to show you. And best of all, ask about our interest-free payment plans. Dental Lounge, Macquarie Street. Create success with your smile.